service and in person and Facebook Live. And so I know it seems that we've all been going through a whole lot, and we have as a nation. But I tell you, I still can't get over the fact as to what God's doing as far as getting the gospel out. He has multiplied upon multiplied the gospel message through Facebook. And so we want to say thank you to those that are watching, and perhaps those that are friends of our Calvary members that are watching, and a family even. We're just so very thankful for that, and thankful to see you here this morning. And we kind of engage in things, you know, as we started back on Father's Day, in-person worship, and no doubt the numbers are telling us that there's still the feeling of, should I go, should I stay, and that's a valid feeling. And so we're just going to continue to do things as we're doing. Sunday mornings, 11 o'clock, all services, Facebook Live. And just keep our finger on the pulse. And so that's what we're going to do. But at the same time, we're praying for healing in our world, aren't we? We are praying for the Lord to heal our land, heal the world. And the other day I seen a picture of, I can't remember where it was at, but anyway, a picture of the earth with a big Band-Aid on it. And that's about the shape that we're in. But the Lord, He's the one who can heal. And I will not stop believing that He's going to heal our land. And there will be a revival before His return. If I did not believe that this morning, there'll be no reason for any of us to be here. We'll just be merely hanging on and sitting on our, as they say, blessed assurance. But this morning, the Lord, He has a plan, you know, and He knows what that plan is. We may be in the dark as to His present plan, but we know in His Word, according to His promises and future plans, we know the direction we're heading in. And this world may be heading in a downward spiral, but the church is heading up. This morning, I want to mention a few things before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. It's good to see Ryder with us this morning. And, hey, can't keep a good man down. He's downstairs, and so good to see him and the concussion that he had, and possibly is still recovering from. And so let's remember him, Lauren and Rhett and family. During this time, also Miss Claudia is in need of prayer. Let's remember her and her health. She also gave me another prayer request. Also, I believe Brother Jeff, Miss Sharon got this from you guys as well. Jimmy Harper, I'm guessing longtime member. I'm not sure if I've ever met Jimmy Harper, but nonetheless, they're trying to find a nursing home for him. Not doing well. I should back up and not say that because I'm more good with faces than I am names, so I may have met him. Let's remember the Teagues in our prayers. Let's remember Jim Daly, who had a fall. Let's remember John Ashworth in our prayers, who's getting ready to have surgery soon. They're going to have to remove a rib from him because it's pressing against an artery. This is causing artery pressure, and so which can result in a heart attack. Definitely do not want this. So let's pray for him on that. Let's also remember Brother Harold. He's with us this morning, but we had special prayer over him last Sunday morning. But let's continue to pray for him and his daily ins and outs, his health. Remember in prayer. I have a certain request. I mentioned Wednesday night, and it's heavy upon our hearts, my family, but a good friend of ours over at Pleasant Hill Baptist, the Merritts, Miss Kim Merritt, has a brain tumor. She's probably 50 years old, early 50s. The doctors are pulling out and saying there's nothing they can do. It's grown
too big in size, and it's too embedded in the depth of her brain. I know her husband. We know her husband real well, Jeff. Let's remember her in prayer. And could not imagine what the family is going through during this time. And I know there's many others who are going through the valley of the shadow of death. Different things, personal things, family things, world things, as we're all going through together. Let's just remember one another in prayer and ask the Lord to help all of these needs during this time. Of course, you can always go online on our website and pull our bulletin and look in detail at all the requests. And there are other requests that have not made that bulletin as of yet. So let's remember one another in prayer. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we just got to reach deep down inside and pull it out. But nonetheless, I'm glad that we're here and we have this opportunity. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. Lord, things are different in our world. We never thought that we would see a time in which we're seeing when we come together on Sundays to worship. But Lord, you're still on the throne. You're still in charge. God, this is and needs to be a constant reminder of us. Remind ourselves each and every day that you are in charge and on the throne. Lord, we are believing. We are believing, God, that you would heal our land. When I say heal our land, I'm talking about physically and also, Lord, the sin problem. I know ultimately there will not be eradication of sin in our land until we get to heaven. But Lord, we do pray that you do a work, that you'll continue that work, dear Lord. I think about Habakkuk in the Bible, how that he beheld all the evils of the land. And in chapter number 1, he said that the law is failing. The law of the land seems like everything is busting loose. And Habakkuk carried that burden. And then we know in chapter number 2, he had to resolve himself. He says, I will stand upon my watch and see what he, the Lord, will say to me. Habakkuk said that I'm a watchman. And I need to be standing and watching even during troublesome times. Then in chapter number 3, the Lord, Habakkuk had a prayer. Lord, that you would in wrath remember mercy. He was assured that the Lord was doing something. And I said all that to say this morning. Lord, we know that you're doing something. And Father, we just pray that in your wrath remember mercy. Heal our land, Lord. Let there be a once and for all saving of souls before you come. There's people in my family that need to get saved. There's people, friends that I know that need to get saved. Lord, help us to not be so caught up in the thick of it, of this pandemic, that we forget to love our neighbor and to tell them about Jesus. Lord, we do pray for all these on the prayer list, each and every person, every life, every situation. Father, we pray for our people here at Calvary that you would bless and uphold and be with, give energy, give health to, so that they can walk the path you have for them. We pray for our friends at Pleasant Hill that you would bless them and be with them and be with Miss Kim. Heal her, Lord, of her current situation. Give her husband Jeff the strength he needs to be the husband he needs to be during this time. Lord, we're thankful for the crowd this morning. Bless them. Bless your word. Bless the singing. May you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus is coming soon. Amen.
Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
He could come this morning, be right on time. And we long for a land far better than this. We sing, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, I don't know how more true that could be. We long for that time. But we're going to sing a song, take us back a little bit in time, but I hope you enjoy it and hope it's a blessing to you this morning about Sweet Beulah Land. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore.
Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal, Beulah Land.
I'm looking now across the river where my faith shall end in sight. There's just a days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight.
Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal, Beulah Land. Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal, Beulah Land. there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah
Book of Psalms this morning, Psalm chapter number 28. Appreciate the singing this morning. Psalm chapter number 28 will be our place of reading for a few moments. I do want to mention at the conclusion of the service, our ushers will be at the entrance ways of the doors with the offering plates to take up or to receive tithes and offerings. So remember that at the conclusion of the service, and I'll do my best to remember that, to say it again. Book of Psalms chapter number 28. And I want to read one verse this morning, but I do want to bow for a word of prayer. And we're going to read verse number 1, Psalm 28 and verse number 1. Father, we come in Jesus' name, Lord, and we're grateful and thankful that there is a land fairer than day where the soul never dies, Beulah land. Lord, we know that your return is imminent. It's going to happen. We know your return is near. Has to be from Bible days till now with current events. And so, Father, my prayer is in the next few moments that we would just bask in this oasis, this spot on Sunday morning here at Calvary where music and the message is presented, that we might be encouraged while we continually look for your return and offer hope to others. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. Again, add your blessing upon me and your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Book of Psalms, chapter number 28. I want you to notice one verse. And that is verse number 1. Psalm 28, verse number 1. David says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." We're going to stop there in that one verse this morning. And I want to say that this, like much of the Psalms, is a Psalm of David. It says so in the inscription below Psalm 28, if your Bible records that. It's a Psalm of David. And in this Psalm, David is expressing his heart. He doesn't want to be numbered among the wicked. Verse number 3, he says, "Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief in their hearts." And so David in this psalm is expressing his heartache. He's not wanting to be numbered with the wicked, meaning he wants freedom from the snares they lay out for him. David, no doubt, was a fugitive man many times, and he knew what it was like being on the run. David knew what it was like to have snares laid out for him. And so he didn't want to be numbered with the wicked. David had a desire to be free from the snares that the enemy, the world, would lay out for him. He wanted to be saved from the infection of their sin. David as well, in these verses, he wants to be saved from doing as they do. What we have in Psalm 28 in its entirety is a man who's tired of the world, really. He's tired of the world, the flesh, the devil, and he knows that God will bring vengeance upon the wicked. And David wants to be in a certain position where he's free from all of that. He doesn't want to be numbered with the wicked. He doesn't want to be caught up in their snares, in the snares that they lay for him. He wants to be free from the infection of their sin, the infection of sin in general. David just wanted to be free from all of that. The flesh, the world, the devil. And so now David expresses in our verse, verse number one, that without the Lord's help, he felt as though he was going under. Notice again in verse 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. I want to take that verse this morning, and I want to share a few things with you along this subject, the feeling of going under. The feeling of going under. David felt as though he was going to be victim to his circumstances. Have you ever felt that way in life? I'm sure you have. Everyone in here, I'm sure, has felt at some time or the other, or even now as I preach, those that are watching, you have felt like you were going under. You felt like because of the circumstances, the situations, you feel like you will be victim of those circumstances. Have you ever felt like you were going under? David, when he says, I become like them, or he says, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. He's talking about the grave. He felt like he was going to die, church. Have you ever been going through a situation, and maybe not even physically, maybe it may be physically for you, or it may be mentally or spiritually where you felt like you was going to die? It may be a physical element, but it may just be a mental element. Have you ever been in such a strait or such a stress in your life, where the circumstances and the situations were so great and so taxing upon you that you felt like you were going under? David felt the same way. He said, unto thee I will cry, or will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. David felt like he was going to die. So this morning, for a few moments, I want to preach on this subject, or at least this subject, the feeling of going under. I remember one time, it was when Lily was much smaller, and she was little of age. She probably was around five. And I can remember we went to Stone Mountain for a staycation, and we jumped on Ride the Ducks. I don't even know if they operate like that still, with a big boat that has wheels and you jump on in the entrance of Stone Mountain and you get on the duck ride. And then you start heading toward that big old lake. And the whole idea is, and what takes place is that you get off onto a trail that I believe it's cemented. It doesn't really matter. It's irrelevant. But it goes down very, 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 very steep into the lake there at Stone Mountain. I can remember we got on that duck ride when she was about 5, and we all got a quacker, a little mouthpiece in shape of a duck's bill, and you would blow on it, and quack, quack. We all was quacking our way down through the road on that boat. And then we hit that side street, and buddy, the captain said, "All right, everybody hang on, we're going down." And immediately that thing just pow, right into the water. And we started floating, and then we were touring Stone Mountain's lake. I said all that to say, a silly illustration, I said that to say this, that we literally felt like we were going down riding the ducks, the duck ride. But here David is saying that, he said, unless God intervenes on my behalf, I'm going down. Oh, listen, there's been times in my life, in my family's life, and a lot as of late where I felt like I'm going down. Lord, I'm just going to die and dissolve in this situation. I mean, have you ever been there where the stress and the strain and the pull was so firm and so tight and rigid upon you, you felt like you're going to die? Very well-known preacher up in North Georgia, I was talking to him one day, and it's been a long time ago, actually, and he said, "Brother Justin, I just don't know what happened. I was sitting there in my recliner, and it's like this spirit came over me. I know it was evil, but I just felt like I was going to die. I felt like I was going to leave my family behind and leave my kids behind, leave my church behind. I just felt like I was going to die." Well, there's times, if we're all honest, that we feel that way. Whether it's some kind of bodily element or whether it's some kind of situation we're going through, some kind of stress in life. Stress has a way, if not managed properly, even if we try to manage it properly, has a way of getting into our heads and we feel like we're going under. David said, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." Do you feel like you're going under this morning? I want to mention a few things out of this verse. Number one, I want you to notice David's description of going under. Notice that last part of verse number one. He says, "Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." He's talking about the cemetery. He's talking about the grave. Of course, it's not all inclusive to that. We can say a pit, like Joseph was in a pit in the Old Testament. We can say a ditch, something along those lines. A place of no escape is what he's getting at. Are you there this morning? Are you facing a place of no escape? Are you in that pit this morning? Are you at least feeling like you're making your way toward the pit? David felt like he was going under. And his description had to do with a pit. He says, "I become like them that go down into the pit, or like those in the grave." Have you ever felt like you was going to die before? Have you ever felt like you was going under, victim to your circumstances? That was David here. The book of Psalms, we're in the book of Psalms, but in Psalm 119, verse number 86, I want you to notice something. You can turn or you can listen along. Psalm 119 in verse number 83, I want you to notice what David says here. He says in Psalm 119, verse number 83, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." David says, "I become like a bottle in the smoke." What is he talking about? He's talking about his descend into death feeling. That slow, gradual slide to despondency. He's talking about that slide into death. And David is describing here, he says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke." back in Bible days, they would, far as like bottles, they would have wineskins. And they would pitch a tent of some kind, and they would hang those skins. And there would be a fire much of the time nearby or inside those tents, close enough where that smoke would roll in or be present. That smoke would draw all the moisture out of those wineskins. Those wineskins were in total darkness in that smoke. And those that know anything about smoke knows that it has a pulling effect of moisture. It dries things out. And so David in Psalm 119 says, I'm like a bottle in the smoke. He said, the moisture in my bones is dried out. There is no spiritual moisture. He says, I'm in the dark. He says, I'm in a slow decline to the grave. My enemies are after me. It's the sin that's in the world and my own stinking rotten flesh. He says, what kind of challenge is this? David says, I'm become like a bottle in the smoke. He says, I can't see anything. It's dark. And he said, because of the situation, it is drawing all the moisture out of me. Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Is your situation drawing all of the life that you have out of you? Well, Christians of every age and of all times have came to places like that in life where they would be in situations where they would feel like their circumstances was drawing all, every bit of life out of them. And I know we all could say as a nation and as a world that there's times where we feel that way, that like we are bottles in a big smoke cloud. We can't see anything. It feels like the life is being drawn out of us. And so that's where David's at. He says, I become like a bottle in the smoke. David also said in Psalm chapter number 73, notice this, just listen along, in verse number 2, or at least the writer of Psalm 73 says this, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. David, in this first point this morning, he has given description of how he feels and where he feels that he's heading to because of the enemy of the Lamb, because of the sin of the Lamb, because of his own flesh. He doesn't want to be numbered with the wicked. And so he says, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Church, this morning, that's true of all of us. We are totally reliant upon God and His mercy for our land. We're totally reliant upon God and His mercy for our homes, for us individually. You do know we're at the Lord's disposal, right? Everything is up to Him. And so David feels as though he's going down to the grave. He feels like he's on a slow decline to that pit. Some say Abraham Lincoln carried the weight of the world on his shoulders so much that when he was seen walking away from you, he would be walking like this. I thought that was something. Talking about the posture of Abraham Lincoln. He would walk, and as he would walk, you could tell that he had the weight of the world on his shoulders. Being in such an influential place that he was in, leading the country and giving words of comfort and letting everybody know the direction the country's heading in. Just all the way. Some of you this morning may be like this. You may feel like you're on a slow decline to the grave. You might feel through life situations, our current situation, your own personal responsibilities and things at home and marriages and kids and all the rest of it, you may feel a lot like Abraham Lincoln. Where one would say, man, look at Abraham Lincoln. He looks so miserable. Look at Abraham Lincoln. Something is on his mind. Well, yeah, something is on his mind. And yeah, look at Abraham Lincoln. A man that chose to make a stand. A man that chose to voice what's right and what's wrong. There is a cost to making such a stand. David this morning said that, he said, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. David's description of the feeling of going under. He says, it's like a pit or it's the graveyard. I feel like I'm going to die. I want to mention a second observation here. Not only David's description in verse 1, but David's dread in verse 1. He says in verse number 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Listen to this. His dread. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. David's dread. Now his description was, he felt like he was on a downward slide to the graveyard. But his dread was that God was silent toward him. His dread was that God wasn't hearing him. Many times in life we get to these places. And because we do arrive at these places where we may feel like God's not hearing us, our situation is not changing, that's a perfect time for examination. Lord, is there something that I did that offended you? Did I grieve the Holy Spirit? Many times, and much of the time, if we have a steady walk with God, we would know the answer to that. And we would confess that, and that wouldn't be a problem. And sometimes it's just His providence. Sometimes God, and we touched on this the other Sunday, about going through the valley of Baca. Sometimes it's the providence of God. Sometimes it's the Father in our God that wants His child to reach a little bit higher. That wants His child or His children to reach inwardly. Inwardly. In fact, that's what Corrie Ten Boom said. I have that listed in the other week's bulletin where she said, you look outwardly, there's gloom, but you look inwardly, you'll find strength. But that's our Father, God. Many times it's through His providence where He allows us to feel as though He's escaped from us or left us. But we know that's not true. But it's just merely a salt block that dries our taste, that causes us to go after Him. I want you to notice something about David's dread. He said, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. David's dread. He didn't want the Lord to be silent to him. Job chapter number 23, we find a similar set of circumstances. Notice if you would in Job 23, which has become one of my favorite chapters in Job. Job 23 and verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. And so we have here in Job, Job is going through some similar set of circumstances. He literally, physically is on his way, so he feels to the cemetery. He feels like he's going under. And he says that I go to those familiar places where I would sense the Lord. In verse number 8, he says, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. Verse 9, on the left where he doth work, that familiar place where Job knows that God is working, he says, I even go to that place, some familiar places. He says, on the left hand where it doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. How about that? But then Job says something in verse number 10. He says, but. This connecting word to the two paragraphs, to the two verses. On one hand, Job does not know where God's at. On one hand, Job cannot sense him. Job cannot trace him. Job is hurting and Job is in pain. But the Bible says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so, church, I want to ask this very important question this morning, by which I asked myself at 6 o'clock this morning. What matters most in my Christian life? That I know where he's at, or if he knows where I'm at? And the answer to that is, it's great. Listen, by the promises of God, we know that he's with us. But there are times where we don't feel that he's with us. But regardless of what we feel and what we see on the news and how things are panning out, regardless of how we feel, we know that he knows where we're at. And that makes all the difference in the world, because there's times where I can't trace his hand. There's times where I'm not sure what he's doing. I've prayed. I've studied the Bible. I've strove toward perfection the best I could and bowed 100 different times saying, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord. You know what I'm saying? And still could not trace his hand and to know what he's doing. But the truth of the matter is, he knows where I'm at. And this morning, if you feel like you're going under, it's with the idea and truth. If you go under, you're going under by Jesus knowing you're going under. You will not go under unless he allows you to go under. I love what Charles Stanley says. He says, trust God, leave all the consequences up to him. That's easily said, hard to live, isn't it? Oh, it's so hard. Easy to preach, but hard to live. And so David, we have his dread. He was in a wicked world. He did not want to be numbered with the wicked. He was tired of their snares for his life. He wanted to be saved from the infection of their sin and the sin of the world and everything that surrounded it. And David said, Lord, I'm going to the grave unless you intervene. Lord, I need your power unless you intervene. Lord, unless you intervene, I become like them that go down into the pit. So this morning we see the feeling of going under. We have David's dread. His dread is that God would be silent and not speak to him. So we see David's description, and that is the pit. David's dread has to do with God being silent. But then I want to mention a third thing. David's dedication. David's dedication. He says in verse number 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Sometimes in these verses, you got to start at the bottom and work your way up. Other times, up, down. But we see David's dedication here. He felt that he was going to die. And his dread was that God would not hear him when he called for help. But then we see his dedication. He says, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. David decided that he was not going to be a victim of his circumstances. Last Sunday morning, we preached, I guess, kind of close along these lines, encouraging yourself in the Lord. David did that here. He decided that he wasn't going to let the flesh, the world, the enemy, those that tried to lay snares unto him to catch him. David decided that he was going to trust the Lord. He decided that he was going to cry unto the Lord. I want to mention just a few things that David actually says in this phrase. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. David mentions, number one, his direction. He says, unto thee will I cry. I don't know if you're like me or not, but there's times where I go through things and, man, I get bogged down and if you're married, you are to cry to your spouse. You're to share things with your spouse. And there's times I go to Christy. Christy comes to me. There's other times where I just want a brother to talk to confide in, you know, and just to, hey, I feel like I'm going to die. Will you pray for me? David said that there comes a point in time when you have to redirect that to God himself. And listen, there's times where I do confide in folks. And there might be a momentary help from their words of encouragement. But by the time I get home and assume my position, those things are coming back. My predicament's still there. And I found out that much of the time I just want validation from those I loved so that I know I'm doing the right thing, you know, and I'm not the one who erred and blah, 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 blah. But I get home, and I'm there. David says that there's times where you can do that. And in fact, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. But here David says, I have to direct my prayer. He says, unto thee will I cry. His direction. Listen, God providentially sometimes has us to himself. It doesn't seem like a family member can help. Doesn't seem like a spouse could help. Doesn't seem like a friend or mentor can help. Nobody can help but God. The Bible talks a lot about shutting that door, entering that prayer closet. Maybe this morning some of us need to shut the door on some things in our life. Just shut the door. You know, we went to friends and family for help and still no help. Maybe we need to get in that prayer closet and shut the door. Sometimes that's what it calls for. His direction, he said, unto thee will I cry. And then he says, he expresses emotion here. Unto thee will I cry. Cry. Now, I don't believe he's talking about actual tears. Of course, I know that it could entail tears here. But he's talking about, he's expressing his urgency for help. He says, Lord, I don't want to go to the pit. I feel like I'm going under. I don't want to die. And in the world, the flesh, the devil, and the schemes of the wicked, and the snares that have let out for me, there's nobody else I can turn to. So, Lord, I am directing my prayer to thee. Unto thee will I cry. We preached a message not long ago on that very subject, crying out to the Lord. And that word cry literally has a ring to it. There's places in the Bible where you can go back and find, and so can I, even from David in the book of Psalms where he called on the Lord. But it's a whole other thing when you cry unto the Lord. Unto thee will I cry. So we see his emotion. But then we see his stability. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. David says, Lord, you are my rock. You are my stability. Everything around me is uncertain. Everything around me seems as though it's sinking sand. I've tried to receive help from this one, from that one. Lord, I've tried to stand on my own two feet, but it's sinking sand. David said, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. And so we see this morning that David is talking about his dedication. He says that the Lord is his stability. He expresses emotion. He says, unto thee will I cry. And then he expresses his direction, unto thee. David's dedication. Flip over to chapter number 29 as we prepare a song this morning. Chapter number 29. Chapter 30, I'm sorry. This is a sister verse of the verse we're reading, and also a concluding verse. In verse number 3 of chapter 30, Psalm 30 and verse number 3. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Again, David started out and he felt as though he was going under. I wonder this morning if there is anybody watching by way of internet or possibly here this morning, if you feel like you're going under. You know, God is the only one who can be the judge of that. He's the giver of life. He gives it. He takes it. He's the one who strengthens us. Do you feel like you're going under this morning? Do you feel like you're going to be victim of your circumstances? David felt that way. And he expressed that in verse 1. We've seen his dread. He felt as though God wasn't going to hear him. But then we see his dedication. My word to you this morning is this. If you feel like you're going under, just cry unto the Lord. Nothing new, no kind of fancy or nothing like that. Just good old-fashioned heart cry unto Jesus. David's dedication, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you this morning. We've expressed what we feel you put on our heart for this service. I pray that you would use it, Lord, for the heart that needs it the most. Lord, if anything else, it does good to be refreshed by things we already know. We love you. We praise you. I pray that you would minister during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be standing to our feet this morning. And if you feel like you need to come and pray, do business with the Lord, you feel free to do so as we give a verse of invitation.
Just as I am without one.
Some have came. Anybody else this morning? This is also our virtual invitation.